And with that, welcome in to another episode after a multi-week hiatus here on the Mackey and Judd podcast feed of WrestleMania Rewind. Phil Mackey, Declan Goff, and we are the resident wrestling nerds and fans on this show. And Declan, we have gone Hollywood in WrestleMania 21. We're making our way through all the WrestleManias up to like a certain point. And then we'll start mixing in some other pay-per-views too. But April 3rd, 2005, inside Staples Center in Los Angeles, relatively new Staples Center still at that point, in front of 20,193 fans. And so, Dex, to set the scene here, we have emerged out of the Attitude Era. We have emerged sort of out of the abyss of, like, you had this mix of, like, WCW stars coming in, and then they tried to make the integration of those stars a thing, but it just didn't really click the way that they wanted it to. And that kind of gave way to Brock Lesnar becoming a star. And Brock Lesnar, John Cena, Batista, Randy Orton, all these guys that worked out together in OVW at various stages between like 2002 and 2005 are being given these chances. And this WrestleMania is known for a lot of things, including being the first ever Money in the Bank ladder match and one of the greatest Shawn Michaels matches of all time against Kurt Angle. Mm-hmm. But it's also known, I think, as the official coronation of a new era of top stars in the company, John Cena and Dave Batista, and other things that happened. Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero was a good match, but like just totally buried on the list of things that happened here. So before we go through some of the matches and some of the moments, like, what's your sort of headline takeaway from WrestleMania Goes Hollywood?
It's the greatest WrestleMania of all time.
Wow.
That is my takeaway.
Wow.
It is my favorite WrestleMania of all time.
Wow.
This was the first one I ever watched live. Mm-hmm. So I went over to a buddy's house, and I remember watching this, and I think I had the next Monday off of school, too. So we watched it live. It was the first time we did pay-per-view, and it is everything you want a WrestleMania to be. It has two faces that get over in John Cena and Batista and crown you the new age of wrestling. It's an excellently paced WrestleMania. You go from Rey and Eddie Guerrero, like a great little starter match, and then it transitions right into the Money in Bank to Undertaker versus Orton. Mm. You have two money interpropotional matches there too between Orton and Undertaker, and obviously Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle, which is also one of the best matches of all time. I really don't think it's close that it is like the best WrestleMania of all time.
I have to process this take for a second. It's an amazing WrestleMania, and I don't know if I can disagree with you. I will admit this is the first time I've ever watched this WrestleMania.
Okay.
So this is the end of my four-year hiatus between I took some time off and then I got back in sort of the summer of 2005. I jumped right in, like back in after SummerSlam, I think, of 2005 and started playing like PlayStation 2, WWE, Raw games and stuff. But if you're looking for like all the boxes that you need to check for a great WrestleMania, I think just like great iconic matches is number one. Like, are there matches that really stand out and moments? When you think back to all the WrestleManias combined, like almost 40 of them, 36 of them at this point, you know, what are the things that really grab you? Like Hogan slamming Andre and the Warrior versus Hogan and Stone Cold WrestleMania 14, Stone Cold 13, Blood Running Down. This one has multiple.
Yes.
That you think back to. It's got the John Cena in the crowd moment, right? Where he basically like crowd surfs and like squashes those two poor Asian women in the front row. They were just like, oh my God, what's happening? I think Dave Batista with the, I think it was the confetti coming down or whatever, and he's on the top rope and the music's playing. This was when they had sort of the low-key Dave Batista music and they didn't do the machine gun pyro.
Yeah.
They really amped up his entrance music once he became the title holder. And then I think you also had, you know, the in terms of memorable things, the first ever Money in the Bank ladder match.
Right.
And that doesn't even include one of the great Shawn Michaels matches of all time.
I know.
So you might be onto something here. I'm trying to think of what other WrestleManias up to this point, like the four or five leading up to this are all amazing. Like basically everything from like WrestleMania 13 going on are just great WrestleManias.
Yes.
I think you might be right. I think you might be right, but we'll get to our official rankings at the end of this. So let's start with just a quick rundown of the card here. You had, in a dark match, you actually had Booker T against, Booker T won the 30-man inter-promotional battle royal, which was not on the WWE Network feed of the show, but Chris Masters was second in that. And I always loved his master lock, which is just a full Nelson. But Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio wins that match. You had in the Money in the Bank ladder match, you had Edge coming out victorious over just a ridiculously stacked group of. You had Chris Benoit, who just main evented in one WrestleMania the year before. You had Chris Jericho, who is the brainchild behind this. You had Christian with Tyson Tomko. Forgot about Tyson Tomko. Kane, and then one of the most underrated performers in WWE history. He couldn't talk on a mic to save his life, but Shelton Benjamin. He's one of us, damn it. He's a gopher.
He was the star of this match.
Yes.
Like, he was the star of this match. The T-bone suplex off the ladder, like him running up and clotheslining people off. He was the star of this match.
I'm glad that he came back, too. Like, he's probably like 40 years old now or something, but I'm glad that he came back. You had Undertaker defeating the legend killer, Randy Orton. You had Trish Stratus beating Christy Hemme in the Women's Championship match. Kurt Angle in a 30-minute match almost with an amazing submission sequence at the end over Shawn Michaels we'll get to. You had a Big Show losing to Aki Bono in a sumo match, which was something.
We just don't talk about this. That didn't happen
Something that happened.
Yeah.
John Cena over JBL for the WWE Championship, and then Batista over Triple H for the World Heavyweight Championship. Okay, let's start with
Piper's pit with Stone Cold too. Which was also like usually they always throw in those little goofy little TV shows in the middle of it, but that was also pretty damn good.
Yeah, and then you also had the Piper's Pit, and then you also had Eugene coming out.
Yeah, with Hogan.
And Hogan coming out to make the save.
Pretty big
pop.
So
you had some iconic things going on there. So even like the side things involved Stone Cold and Hogan getting over. So all right, let's start with the Money in the Bank ladder match and work our way to the other stuff here. What were your overall thoughts on this and how they pulled it off in the first ever?
I thought it was a pretty cool idea because you've never had like this on paper number one, like usually you do the number one contender. You have a tournament or you have a like snake GM who's always trying to get the bad guy over and wants and is always like conniving against the face of the champion.
Yeah. And it's immediate. Like it happens and then they go and fight right away for the championship in the next couple weeks.
And there's usually like a rematch if they're not victorious. And this one was just like, no, we're going to put guys in a ladder match and a lot of veterans in ladder matches and Edge, Christian, even Chris Jericho. And then you throw in like random dudes like Chris Benoit, who isn't known for being a ladder match, but is like an obvious, well, we know Chris Benoit's history. I won't go any more further.
Yeah.
Kane, who is always a great sell and is just going to choke slam people to hell and is a fan favorite. Shelton Benjamin, this is like almost like a coming out party for him. Like he was in the world's greatest tag team. And then this run in 05, I believe he wins the Intercontinental title shortly after WrestleMania, holds it for like 9 months. Mm-hmm. So like that propels his career. And then Edge, who basically was like the perfect mold of you broke out a tag team. He becomes an established single star. Like he wins a couple Intercontinental titles. He breaks the mold of like, oh, I don't need Christian. It's obvious that Edge propelled over Christian over their runs in WWE.
Yep.
Even with Christian getting some pop. And, you know, he had a World Heavyweight Championship run too. But Edge finally establishing himself and he turned complete a bad guy. I mean, he was, for the majority of his run, even after Edge and Christian, he was a face. He's a fan favorite, but he completely re-identifies his character.
So he wins this match, and then this sort of launches the Rated R Superstar era, right?
Yes.
And I actually went and watched. It was early 2006. I think it was after the Elimination Chamber,
where he cashes in.
He cashed in, and he was with Lita by that point, because if you remember, between when he wins the Money in the Bank case and then, like, you know, 9 months later when he cashes in at the beginning of the next year, in between that, he had the real life feud with Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
And if you guys haven't, I think it was SummerSlam. I can't remember if it was SummerSlam. They fought like two or three times.
Yeah, I think at Unforgiven and SummerSlam, yeah.
But they had the one in particular where they stopped the match legit because Edge beat the crap out of Matt Hardy. Like they were using legit fists and kicks and in real life, we're feuding over Lita because Lita cheated on Matt Hardy with Edge.
Yeah, he legitimately got fired. They fired Matt Hardy. And then because of the crowd reaction and like the fans, and this was like in the beginning of blogs, right?
Yep.
It was, I think it was, the story was there's forums of people like were just like hounding W, like how the hell can you fire him? Like legitimately fire him. And now you have this feud. And I think even like he comes back at Raw when he was already fired. Like he attacks them backstage and they film it. So that starts a great feud.
And so it was like real life spilling over into storyline and vice versa, and they had that feud going on. But all throughout that, Edge is building up this real legitimate heat, and people are legitimately not only like mad at him in character, but like think he's an ass in real life, which he was at the time. I think he's now he's with Beth Phoenix for the last 10 years or whatever. But But he comes out of that, and he's just this ultimate bad guy. He's the rated R superstar. He cashes in ultimate, like, chicken bleep fashion. When yep. John Cena's a bloody mess, he cashes in the Money in the Bank in early 2006. And the next night on Raw, him and Lita promised a live sex show yeah. on USA Network.
Well, I remember watching it live.
Like, what? Yeah. And they had, like, a bed in the ring and stuff. And
wasn't it, like, it is, I think it still is the largest watched Raw episode of all time. I think it is. I think it is.
I thought the This Is Your Life, I thought the Rock and Mankind This Is Your Life segment was.
That might be it. You know what? I think it was. It's the largest episode of Raw that for an audience after the Attitude Era.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, I think it had like just, 7 million
people
or something.
People are perverts. They just want to see
yeah,
Lita.
Yeah, they were, including me.
So, yeah. yeah who are we kidding?
I was 12, okay? I get somewhat of a pass at age 12 for that. I get somewhat of a pass. At 27, it would have been a little weird.
I was 20.
Yeah. And you were checked in on it too.
Yep. So I think like that whole era was just, it was Edge's coming out party in a different way than it was John Cena and Batista's like official, you are the champions of the company mm-hmm. coming out party. But it was Edge's coming out party and that it was kind of the, we see you there too, buddy.
Yeah.
And we're going to give you this rub.
For sure.
And the company was officially from that point forward, it was Edge, John Cena, Batista, and Randy Orton too was still, yeah. still with it.
Oh yeah.
If you could run the company, would you have the Money in the Bank? A, would you still have it?
Yeah.
It still exists. So would you have kept it around for, you know, however 15 years? Would it still be part of WrestleMania, or would you have created a separate pay-per-view like they did?
It's tough because I think it's a cool idea to do the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and now that because the women's division has propelled basically over the men's division, like it's good to have two of them, that you have a men's and a women's one. But I think the lore of the WrestleMania of it is what was like what built it. So it adds to the WrestleManias for like the next 7 years of, and there's iconic ones where Seth Rollins cashes in the night of.
That's
you know,
right.
I think there's been ones where, you know, they cash in the next night on Raw. And then I think only like one, like Dolph Ziggler and only like one other person. Like if you cash in Money in the Bank, like it's like a 95% success rate that you're going to be the champion. So I think it'd be cooler if it was still at WrestleMania, if it was just a WrestleMania thing. But I'm not shocked at all that like WWE brass looked at it and said, we got to make its own identity here and build something on it from there.
It's such a big brand. You don't really – like WrestleMania doesn't need it. It definitely helps WrestleMania.
Yeah, you're right that it doesn't need it.
WrestleMania is just sort of its own great standalone thing, and Money in the Bank needed WrestleMania to validate it, but I think it graduated beyond that.
For sure.
So I do like that it has become its own standalone thing. And I would argue, like, it's probably the second – SummerSlam is pretty big. It's probably, like, the third biggest wrestling or pay-per-view-related brand. I would put it above even, like, Hell in a Cell, especially because yeah. it's kind of a – it's, like, a PG-rated version of wrestling now. And so
yeah.
The reason I don't really like Hell in a Cell, and it's not really believable as much anymore, is because you can't put two guys inside Hell in a Cell and expect there to be no blood. It's just weird.
It's true.
So I almost think Money in the Bank has become, like, one of their top three branded – yeah. pay-per-view or like match related things.
It's probably as surpassed even like Survivor Series. Like Survivor Series, I think has kind of lost some luster, like what yeah. it used to be, you know, the fun elimination matches. But I would say, and I would even say, it's probably surpassed SummerSlam. Like SummerSlam is built as their essentially diet WrestleMania of the summer. But I would say Mania and Royal Rumble are obviously the number
Rumble
one and two.
Yeah.
So like those are one and two. But Money in the Bank has like given some awesome moments. Last year, Bayley, when she won it, she cashed in the night of. So there's a lot of lore with Money in the Bank. And kudos, again, Chris Jericho, like reinventing himself and reinventing a company, dude. Like,
yep.
That's an awesome factoid of his career.
Dude, I also love you brought the Seth Rollins thing up. God, that's like top five most I've ever popped watching wrestling. It's
yeah.
like, oh my God, he's doing it tonight. This is great. They're going to screw Roman because the fans hate him. So if you were the Money in the Bank winner,
yeah.
what type of Money in the Bank champion would you be? Would you be the guy who waits until his opponent is incapacitated like Edge did when John Cena was a bloody mess and he comes down all ready to rock?
Question.
Or would you be the guy that wants to do it fair and square, straight up? I'm going to challenge you man to man.
I feel like I would like to do it more like an Edge style and probably like after a TLC match. Like it'd be something just insane. Like these two dudes have just been put themselves through hell.
I'm just going to walk in and pin you.
And literally going to walk in and pin. And even when Edge beats Cena for the title, it takes two spears because that's another Elimination Chamber Like, that was a 2005 was like probably my favorite year of wrestling. So this whole this set off just a great fan of me, and like it's my peak interest of wrestling was 05. And I remember we did WrestleMania, we did New Year's Resolution for my best friend's birthday too, and then I believe we did Armageddon, which was a month before New Year's Resolution.
December, right?
I did like three. I don't know how. Like my parents only bought one of the pay per views, but like I was involved in like four pay per views, and those were like what, $70 back in the day. Like those weren't cheap. Like those were in a commitment. But it took two spears to take out Cena even. And we were like, oh my God, he's not even going to win. Edge is going to like, the ultimate opportunist is going to like get screwed or something. Like Cena's going to roll him up. But it was interesting that it was just also a transitional championship year for Edge. Like he lost it 3 weeks later at Royal Rumble.
That's right.
Cena goes back into 22 as the champ. And then Cena and Edge's real feud pops off by like the summer of 06 and into the next year.
Yep. Michaels Angle. You had two of the all-time greats here, and this was, I look at Shawn Michaels' career as it's a three-part act. Act one was, I guess you could say a four-part act if you want to include his AWA days, but like his time with the WWF and WWE, act one was the Rockers.
Mm-hmm.
So a high-flying, energy, fan-favorite tag team. Act two was his solo or singles career from the moment he kicked Marty Jannetty and sent his head through the glass of the barbershop all the way through WrestleMania 14, and maybe even a little bit beyond that, like as he was kind of the commissioner. Like that was act two, which was a brilliant act in its own right. He was a champion. He led the company. He had a bunch of personal issues, but he was a great performer. I think Shawn Michaels' third act, which is the minute he comes back as a performer in 2002, and goes through the three matches with Triple H, starting at SummerSlam with the Street Fight.
Yep.
And then the three stages of Hell match, and I think it was a Hell in a Cell, whatever. I think the third act for him is the best act, even though he wasn't the champion nearly as often.
Yeah.
Some of the matches he put up, starting with those Triple H matches, and then the Jericho match at WrestleMania, and I might be missing one in there somewhere, but this match with Kurt Angle, this is the first time I've ever seen this match straight through,
mm-hmm.
which is egregious as a longtime wrestling fan.
I'm shocked.
And then you go into, he eventually gets the back-to-backs with The Undertaker. He retires Ric Flair. He has the John Cena match before all of this for the championship. He was just peak Shawn Michaels performer in every WrestleMania going forward here. And I thought this match, for the first time having watched it, like the buildup of it, the biggest difference between these two guys, and Kurt Angle, by the way, like, he's an all-time great performer, and not only a performer in the ring and what he could do, but just like psychology and promos and just everything about him. He's kind of a psycho too. He'll just he'll
nuts.
Do anything, and you're not quite sure if he's like, you know, missing a screw or not. But the biggest difference, not to sound like old man Mackey here, the biggest difference between these two guys and guys like them in that era, yes, they can do anything in the ring. And Shawn Michaels is a high flyer, and both these guys can do moonsaults and mm-hmm. like jump off the top rope. So they're amazing workers, but they put almost more emphasis on storytelling and what's making sense and not in the ring. And like everything they did in the last 5 minutes with the ankle lock and Shawn Michaels just desperately, wildly trying to get out of it, to like teasing a tap out a couple times. And eventually he's just like borderline unconscious and finally has to tap. Like, the whole thing and the emotion and everything was a perfect story. So it does hold up as one of the great matches of all time.
Your days are done. Tap out. You hear me, Michael? Tap out.
Oh, Angle talked too much. He talked too long. He got a foot in his mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
Angle was bad-mouthing Shawn Michaels.
A shot heard around the world, if you will, by Shawn Michaels. Knocking down Kurt Angle, and Michaels trying to crawl. It's about all
just
Michaels
get an arm across him. He's out.
Arm over. It'll count. It'll be over. It'll count.
Oh, wait a minute. Did he get his shoulder up?
The only gripe was that botched count by the referee.
Yeah, what happened there?
It was basically a three count. Like, obviously, he was supposed to kick out. Like,
that happened in the last WrestleMania, too.
Like, it was an obvious, like, oh, and, like, you can tell that JR and King were like, wait, what was it? Was it three? Like, because you could even tell, like, I think they're genuinely confused, like, oh, crap, was it three? Yes, it is an unbelievable match. And, yeah, him desperately trying to get out of the ankle lock. And as a humongous Shawn Michaels fan like yourself, too, like, I bought the book. I can't remember what book it was called, like, an 05. But he had, like, Shawn Michaels came out with his autobiography, And in the book, he talks about that, and this might be in our notes from McGivern. I'm not sure if we got him, but
Mike, I didn't send him this week. We'll get him next week.
But there's a fact that this match, so it's 27-27. It's almost a half hour. It went on about 10, 15 minutes longer than it was supposed to be. So that's why the Cena and JBL match was cut so short.
So why did he say, I've never read his autobiography. Why did it go on?
The pop of the crowd was insane, and they kept improvising, and it just, they're feeling out the crowd.
Yeah.
And also, like, there was a long, you know, Michaels wins, and then he gets, like, an ovation afterwards. So, like, there was a, this, like,
Angle wins.
Yeah, Angle wins, excuse me. And then Michaels is, you know, gets out of the ring all hobbled from the ankle lock, but, like, gets a round of applause from this amazing pop of the crowd. And, like, everyone backstage was, like, waiting for them, like, holy, like, that was it. Like, and that is the only maybe small dilute you can make about WrestleMania 21 that, yes, Cena and Batista get over, but those matches as a whole, kind of average. Like, kind of
yes,
average.
Not, I agree with
not
that.
Iconic matches. It, yep. The moments were iconic. The matches themselves were average.
Crazy.
It is an amazing match. I think it is my favorite of Shawn Michaels. And there are a lot of others you can put on the list. I think this one's my all-time favorite of Shawn Michaels.
I really, really love the Iron Man match. The Iron Man match, I mean, it dragged a little just because it's 60 minutes in overtime.
Yeah.
That was amazing. I wish Stone Cold was fully healthy and Shawn Michaels was fully healthy for their... Because people talk about that WrestleMania 14 match, and it's like all the blame kind of goes on Shawn Michaels' back was a train wreck, and it was, and he couldn't do even a third of the things in the ring that he would normally be able to do or go as long. Well, Stone Cold broke his neck 9 months beforehand, so he wasn't operating at full peak Stone Cold really ever at any point, you know, after that. So I would be curious if those two went at it and got 30 minutes like these two did in their prime, what that would have looked like. But yeah, like... This is. I still think the first match with The Undertaker is the single greatest match in the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
But this is like right up there, man. It's a freaking clinic.
It's really good. But yeah, the match went so long and was so great. I wouldn't say it took away the rest of the pop of WrestleMania, but it is the highlight of the WrestleMania. This match is the highlight of WrestleMania 21.
I think they, was it after this match then that they did this whole thing?
I got a lot of respect for you sticking up for Vince McMahon. Against him, for him, down on him, you be the man. Try to keep up with me. But on one point, I beg to differ. Well, if you'd shut up and listen, I'll tell you.
What point would that be?
You don't understand him either? That's a yes. That would be this part, sir. I was here when WrestleMania didn't have a number. I was pissing Vince McMahon off when the red on the back of your neck was diaper rash, buddy.
Just like two awesome icons here.
And, Piper and Stone Cold.
And he's right. Like Piper does. Like Piper was basically Stone Cold persona. Yeah. 20 years prior, like 15 years prior.
Yeah,
like
the bad guy that turned into a good guy because people just loved how good he was at being a bad guy.
And they both just played off the crowd so well. That's also a really good highlight of this WrestleMania.
All right, what about, I'll give you the floor on this one.
Let's go for Ryan! It's not too late! What a terror! A minute and RKO! And that's not the only single for The Undertaker! Amazing!
I remember watching that live and was absolutely convinced that was the streak right there. I was convinced that. I remember being shocked, the head, like hands on my head, waiting for him to cover him, like, that's it. Like, he actually did it. Like, he's the legend killer. They've been trying to build him up. I remember being absolutely convinced the streak was going to end right then and there.
Okay, in retrospect, would that have been a better place to end the streak? Or did the streak carried so much great weight going into those Michaels matches and Triple H? So, like, obviously... if The Undertaker isn't undefeated at WrestleMania, the Michaels match doesn't carry as much. Mm-hmm. And the Triple H, like, so it made those matches. But in terms of who they have, or a better question would have been, like, if you're not going to use it to put over a young star like Randy Orton in that spot, was using it to put over Brock Lesnar? Like, I don't think that was a good idea. And I don't even know if that was, quite frankly, supposed to happen.
Right. I don't think it was either. I think it's when he loses to Brock, it was just a shock. And you learn back that he was concussed. So was there something happening in the background of that match that just decided, like, oh, like, we have to make him lose here? Because I remember that was the first Mania I had probably watched in like 8 or 9 Manias. Because WWE Network had just launched. I bought the month trial. I was wrapping up like junior year of college. And it was spring break, and I was the only one still on campus in my house. So I was like, you know what? I don't know anything about WrestleMania. I don't know anything what's going on with wrestling right now. I haven't watched in basically like 10 years. But let's turn this on. It's Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. Yeah. I do know who the hell they are. This should be pretty good. Who's this Daniel Bryan guy? I have no idea. But I remember being, again, absolutely shocked, like standing up in my house alone in the middle of St. Cloud on spring break, just being like, are you kidding me? Like, this is how this is how it ends? And being super upset. Looking back on it, like, yeah, it would have been cooler if they got someone younger over. I'm glad. And, you know, when they did it again with Roman, like, again, like, it didn't have the same luster to it. No. Like, it was just botched. It was horrible.
The Roman thing, like, Roman wasn't the guy.
Yeah. And Taker talks about, too, in The Last Ride, Doc, like, his shtick is always about getting young people over. Guys like Randy Orton in that WrestleMania moment. The Jeff Hardy ladder match a couple years prior, which is one of the more iconic Raw episodes ever, too. Like, that's what this business is about, like, getting the legends to get over to the next step. So it definitely would have been cooler, like, yeah, like, let's say in 2013 or 14, when I know when Taker loses to Lesnar, if it was, you know, was Daniel Bryan, if it was Seth Rollins, and they were still trying to get them over, it would have been probably a little cooler. But I really was convinced that when Randy lands the RKO, I was like, holy crap, that's it.
Yeah. RKO out of nowhere, man. All right, other coronations here. The coronation of John Cena over JBL, obviously not the most iconic match, just because, like,
no.
They're following one of the greatest matches of all time. But, this was John Cena going over and elevating from United States champion, which he was the prior year, to being sort of the man in the company. Eventually jumped ship to Raw in the draft like a month or two after this. But what are your thoughts here on this being the starting of the John Cena era that really lasted for like 14 years?
As an 11, 12-year-old who had just gotten back into wrestling like 9 months prior, before this WrestleMania, I mean, JBL was such a hateful, he played that role so GD well, and I know he loved this, he was a wrestling god, and I'm the self-proclaimed greatest SmackDown champion of all time, and I think he is. I think looking back on it during like these Raw and SmackDown splits from, you know, like 2002 to like 2012, this run of JBL as like a champ for 10 months,
yeah,
like he was almost champ for a whole calendar year, he played it so flipping well, and he was so hateful. I couldn't stand him.
Yeah.
So I was jacked when John Cena wins the title, and then he gets over. But looking back on it, like 15 years later, again watching it, I probably have seen this Mania like 2 or 3 times too. But he really was the best SmackDown champion, like, I think, of all time. Like, he just played it so well, and he beat everyone. He beat Undertaker. He beat Eddie Guerrero, Booker T,
yep.
Big Show. Like, you lined up all these guys that, like, you always were convinced, okay, he'll finally lose. He'll finally lose. There's a great Survivor Series of 04, that Fatal 4-Way. It's like one of my favorite matches. It's JBL, Eddie Guerrero, Undertaker, and Booker T, and Heidenreich interferes at the last second.
Heidenreich.
And starts a new feud with Undertaker. But I remember that Fatal 4-Way thinking, like, there's no way in hell that JBL will walk back out as the champion, and he's still champ for like 6 more months after that.
Like, I think he is one of the most underrated great heel characters in wrestling history. And I remember hating him in the moment because it was, and some of it was just like he kept getting shoved down our throats, and his run definitely, his run was a good run, like, let's put it that way. But I just think, like, his mic work, his despicability.
Yes.
And even just like some of his ring work was pretty damn good too. And the clothesline from hell is a great finisher.
Yes.
Just load up on a massive clothesline. I love the way that they ended this match where John Cena ducks the clothesline from hell and goes with what used to be called the FU. So it was good. I've never been a huge John Cena guy.
Right.
I just think like his character was still wearing jorts 12 years later. It's like there's no evolution. Like Shawn Michaels clearly evolved as a human, as a character, as everything. And Stone Cold Steve Austin wasn't really around long enough to evolve. He was just like the same guy for 5 years and then he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like And maybe part of it was just because John Cena was so great at what he, like, he just shows up every Monday night for 15 years. Like, yeah. That was him. And so part of it might have just been John Cena fatigue, and they didn't really know what to do with his character after a certain point, and they didn't really build up enough stars. Once you got to, like, 2012, 13, 14, it was like they had to bring Brock Lesnar back to even, like, have someone that could compete with John Cena. So that was my only thing, is, like, it was a great era, but I don't put it on the same level. I mean, he's like, John Cena's like the Hall of Fame baseball player that was really, really good for 15 or 20 years, but didn't have like that peak moment. He wasn't Stone Cold at his peak. He wasn't The Rock at his peak. He wasn't Shawn Michaels at his peak. He was just damn good and reliable for like 15 years.
Yeah, and I feel like just the run here between like 04 and I don't know, I'll probably even say like the 2008, because when Cena comes back at the Royal Rumble, he kind of has a little bit of resurgence. Like, everything is solid in WWE. It's not at the peak of it was in the Attitude Era, but it was certainly better than it is right now. Like, yep. they had like really good just depth around. Like, you didn't have the superstar like you did with The Rock and Stone Cold, where it was like you had top dogs, the top card all the time. You just had really good depth across all your brands.
Yep. And then the last match, the official main event. I'm going to play this one more time.
The thumbs down by Batista. Batista now.
Say the intro package for this match is one of the best, most like like blood pumping promos I've ever seen, where they show the beginning of Evolution all the way through Batista winning the Royal Rumble. Evolution was a faction for 2 years, basically, some injuries in there too, and then they juxtapose both guys' promos leading up to WrestleMania, and it's a student versus pupil matchup here.
Yeah,
and I just want to read. This is from Wikipedia's summation of the lead up to this match, and it'll give you some memories here if you're a wrestling fan from that era. The official disbanding of Evolution in early 2005. So at New Year's Resolution, second week in January, Triple H wins the Elimination Chamber match to win the vacant World Heavyweight Championship by last eliminating Randy Orton following outside interference from Batista and Ric Flair. 3 weeks later at the Royal Rumble, Triple H successfully defends the title against Orton, while Batista won the 2005 Royal Rumble match, earning the right to compete against whichever champion, Raw or SmackDown, he wants to. And so they have this kind of back and forth where Triple H is trying to usher him toward, yeah, go fight John Bradshaw Layfield. Yeah, definitely go to SmackDown. And Triple H concocted a scheme to have Batista run over by a limousine resembling the one used by Layfield.
Right.
Initially, Batista did not want help from Evolution and wanted to confront JBL by himself. Triple H insisted that Evolution accompany Batista anyway, saving him from the oncoming limousine. Batista became aware of the plot while eavesdropping on his fellow Evolution members and signed a contract guaranteeing him a match with Triple H at WrestleMania. And the best part about it was they called back to the Randy Orton moment where Randy Orton's celebrating his title and they're giving him the thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs down, boom, and they turn on Orton. And Batista's signing the contract and gives the thumbs up, and Flair and Triple H, thumbs up, thumbs up. Thumbs down,
God.
Signs it, kicks their asses, and this leads to the blow-off feud at WrestleMania. And it was a decent match for two big guys.
Yeah.
Triple H is great in the ring. Batista, I think, probably reached his max capabilities with the right performers.
Yes.
But it was a good run for Batista. He eventually became a guy that like Vince kind of shoved him down people's throats for probably a year or two too long. And there wasn't that like Rock or Stone Cold level to his character. So he became kind of stale and was mostly a bad guy throughout his run, but this was a great night.
Yeah, it was. And it got the two dudes over, like even in the Royal Rumble, I think leading up to that, you kind of knew, at least even I remember going into that as like a 12-year-old, like I figured like John Cena, Edge, and probably Batista are going to be like your final three in that Rumble match. Like it just kind of felt like those are the three guys who haven't been over yet, and you would like to see the company probably propel them up. So I knew going into that, like, those are probably the three dudes that'll be one of the winners of the Royal Rumble. And to be honest, I don't remember if Edge was even in the Royal Rumble match. I assume he was. But, you know, there's the iconic ending to that Royal Rumble where both feet leave the floor at the same time. Vince tears both of his quads getting
That's
into
right.
the ring, which is also another hilarious thing.
That's
so
right.
they had to restart the Rumble. Obviously, Batista wins it. But then you even knew, like, well, Cena's still going to be the SmackDown guy. That's going to be obvious. So it was awesome that they basically fed this. They were teasing it for a while. They knew that Batista and Triple H, there was bad blood. It started at New Year's Resolution. So you kind of knew, like, this is going to end with these two fighting each other at WrestleMania. And, yeah, the match is good. It's not great. But it's an iconic moment where two dudes who were the next face of the company for essentially the next 3 years got their shining moment.
Yep. So let's get to our definitive Mania rankings here. We just rank on a 1 to 10 stunner scale. And to this point, the last four WrestleManias have been the four best that we have reviewed and given a score to. In order, WrestleMania 20, 19, 18, and 17. So they just keep getting better.
Yeah.
And they're great. This is a great era for WrestleManias. WrestleMania 14, 10, 13, and 15, followed by WrestleMania 6, round out our top 10. You might wonder, what about WrestleMania 3? It's fine.
Yeah, it's an iconic moment.
Maybe it's just a little bit too old school for us.
Yeah.
It's an iconic moment. A lot of dud matches.
Yes.
I mean, come on. You compare WrestleMania 3 to WrestleMania 21.
Can't do it.
Not close.
It's
So out of 10, how many would you give it?
It's an 11. Like, it's 10 out of 10. This is my favorite WrestleMania of all time. Obviously, I have a little bit of bias because I remember watching it live as a 12-year-old, but everything about it is perfect. Like I said at the beginning, where you have two guys who get over, you have a new match in the Money in the Bank. Both Raw and SmackDown rosters were basically defined here. So like you after 3 years of brand split, this is like at its peak of what it should be. Then they change it up after WrestleMania, obviously, and go in the draft. But the pace is great. The interpromotional matches are great. You get two faces get over. I don't understand how anyone. I don't think it's a hot take. It is the best WrestleMania. From start to finish, I really do.
All right. Drum roll. I give it a 10, too,
yes!
dude.
Yes.
It is. You've talked me into it. I mean, I wasn't really thinking along those lines when we started the show, but you've talked me into it. This is a ridiculously good WrestleMania. when the bottom three matches include Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
I mean, and when Undertaker Randy Orton isn't even one of the four most noteworthy things that happened on that card.
I know.
That's pretty amazing.
And, like, yeah, Eddie Guerrero were tag team champions. Like, that's never happened before. You had the tag team champions fighting against one another. So just, like, the innovation in this WrestleMania, like, I don't think it's close. I really don't think it's close.
Who remind me the name of the guy that Hulk Hogan came out and beat up.
Was it Muhammad Hassan?
Yes.
Yes, Muhammad Hassan.
Okay, one other thought. So when he has Eugene in the camel clutch.
Yeah.
And he does the, and this is like right, like this is 4 years after 9/11. Like this is right, like the WWE is trying to shove the, you know, anyone Middle Eastern that looks potentially terrifying,
God.
Let's make him into a villain. And he does the throat slash gesture across. That made me like 2020 uncomfortable. Like, oh my God, you can't do that.
No, not at
all. Oh, but you totally could in 2005.
Yeah, absolutely.
Apparently. So, all right, that's the best WrestleMania that we've reviewed to this point. Maybe the best WrestleMania ever. And that's a wrap on this episode of WrestleMania Rewind.
Somebody get in there! Somebody even pierce
there! Edge is there! He's teetering, but he's got